Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Merci beaucoup. Miséricorde de Krishna. Hare Krishna. How nice to be here with you all. It is my honor and my pleasure to be here with you all, actually. Yes. And even though I do travel the world, that's a fact, but we like to come to Maurice. Oh, yes. Oh. Merci beaucoup. A vous. Yes. Because such nice devotees and enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness, and this is what we like. So, everyone understands English, anglais, tout le monde, pas de problème, oui, j'espère. Okay. So we're going to read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. And we will read text 18. First of all, though, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 18. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Stanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Gati means the destination where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is Krishna, although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict respective methods, they reach different planets known as Chandraloka, Suryaloka, Indraloka, Maharloka, etc. But all such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Let me just read that again. But all such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Ha-ha. Such planets, being manifestations of Krishna's energy, are also Krishna. But actually, they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. For example, if there's a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by the staircase, step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to him and everything exists on his energy. Krishna, Krishna being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. The residences, countries, or planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal of shelter, and therefore one should take shelter of Krishna, either for protection or for annihilation of his distress. And whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is the supreme living entity. And since Krishna is the source of our generation, or the supreme father, no one can be a better friend than Krishna, nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the original source of creation and the ultimate rest after annihilation. Krishna is therefore the eternal cause of all causes. Let me read the verse again. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschityade Jatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So yes, this is rather profound and potentially confusing, because it is so profound, information. It really is. For a devotee can understand by the grace of the Lord, because Krishna gives the devotees intelligence to understand things, to understand things which otherwise, for your average person walking in the street, just someone who's not a devotee, Krishna does not give them that sort of intelligence. Therefore, generally, they can't understand. And it does sound a little unusual, shall we say, or even a little strange. What was it? Yes, here it is. All such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. That's, you think about it, that's a rather unusual thing to say. It's like saying, I am me and not me. How does that sound? I am me and not me. When it suits me, I am me. And at other times, I am not me, I am someone else. Who knows who I am at other times, but I am not me. This is called achintya bhed abhed tattva. That is a Sanskrit term. The term is coined as like a little saying by Srila Jiva Goswami after the time of Lord Chaitanya himself. Although Lord Chaitanya talked about achintya bhed abhed tattva, he never used the term as such. He just talked about the concepts. But Jiva Goswami actually adopted the name achintya bhed abhed tattva. Achintya means inconceivable or inconceivably. Bhed means different from. Abhed means not different from. So this is very important, like cornerstone foundational principle in the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's not just that Lord Chaitanya talked about the concept, although he did regularly, but actually it is there in Bhagavad Gita. It is there in Bhagavad Gita. Let me just, there's a verse just before, if I remember correctly. This is now chapter 9, verse 4. Maya tatamidam saravam jagadavyaktamurtina matstani saravabhutani na chaham teshvavastita. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then verse 5. Na cha matstani bhutani pashya me yoga maishvaram. Bhuta brin nacha bhuta sto mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. He just said, all beings are in me, but everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. And according to our great Acharya, great guru, spiritual teacher, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita at this point, in his commentary, what he does, the way he makes different points, is he makes them in the form of extra dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. And here, Because Krishna said everything's in me, then he says everything is not in me. And according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Arjuna says, I think you have made a mistake. Everything's in you but not in you. I think you've made a mistake. And he is so bold as to say, I think you may be slightly confused. Normally we would not say that to Krishna. Not a good idea. And Krishna says, no. Pashya me yogam aishvaram. It is my mystic opulence. So it is a chintya bheda bheda tattva. Everything is bade, different from Krishna. But everything is abade, not different from Krishna. Oh, how to grasp that. So, Srila Prabhupada particularly gives a number of examples to illustrate this point and to show us how to see it. Prabhupada gives the example of the sun. The sun. You could go outside and stand in the sun. We speak like that, don't we? In English we do. Let's go stand in the sun. So we would go out there. But if you want to stand in the sun, well, you know, the sun's a long way away. And it's very hot. If we actually stood in the sun, we would be fried to crispy crisps within a fraction of a second. Yeah. Because it's just too hot. So, but still, we say, we think that let's stand in the sun. So, that sunlight is the energy of the sun. And because, well, it is the energy of the sun. The sunlight is here with us in Maurice. But the sun is many millions of miles away. But still we think we are in the sun, or let's go out of the sun. That sun light, it cannot be separated from the sun. At the same time, the sun light is here, it's right there, a few meters away, and the sun is such a long way away. So like this. This is an example of oneness and difference. Because you cannot separate the sun and the sunlight. The sunlight is part of the sun. You take away the sunlight from the sun, and you've got no sun. It's just, they're just intrinsically one. And if you take away the sun, if you say, we don't need the sun, we'll just take the sunlight. So if the sun goes away, the sunlight goes away also. They're inseparable. In a certain sense, they're one. Or, another example, you are all Mauritians, most of you. And even me. I am now an official resident of Mauritius. Not exactly like you, but I'm not just, you know, a tourist on holiday. I can stay here and live here and, you know, like that. So anyway, but particularly yourselves, you're all Mauritians. So you are one with Mauritius. If the value of the Mauritian rupee increases, your wealth increases. You, because you're part of Mauritius. If some country comes and invades Mauritius, and takes over, they take over you also, because you are part of Mauritius. And you cannot say that, no thanks, I will just remain independent, thank you. It won't be effective because you're part of Mauritius. But at the same time, you're you. And you have a degree of independence. You could leave Mauritius at some time. So, in a certain sense, there's this oneness and difference. It applies in many ways, and if you think about it, you'll find many examples, practical examples of oneness. Like, who would take over Mauritius? Who could invade Mauritius? Rodriguez. Would they invade Mauritius? The Rodriguez army? Not so likely. Reunion, maybe. Okay. So this oneness and difference, but it is specifically in the sense of the energetic and the energy. There's the energetic, and then there's the energy. And they're inseparable, but still they can also be seen separately. It's a little subtle, isn't it? Have I bewildered anyone completely yet? Or just 90%, 50%? Okay, we hope you got the idea. So, we are Krishna's energy, and all these different things here, mentioned here, they're manifestations of Krishna's energy. Srila Prabhupada mentions the planets. Chandra Loka, Surya Loka, Indra Loka, Mahaloka. All such lokas or planets being creations of Krishna are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. It's like when you make something, part of you goes into it in one sense, isn't it? When you make something, you focus your energy. And even we recognize that with cooking. Cooking. A cook cooks for Krishna with love and devotion. And that devotee's love goes into the cooking. And Krishna tastes the cooking when it's offered. Well, the devotee offering, you know, the pujari, they also offer with love, but it has also been cooked with love. And Krishna tastes the love. And he's not really worried about, you know, even if it's very well cooked, expertly cooked, or not so nice. But if the love is there, Krishna tastes the love. So, you know, Krishna, sometimes when the maha plate comes around, you know what I mean? The maha plate comes around, and you look, it's the maha. And then you look, where's the samosa? And say, could I have the samosa? Or you look, the maha, where's the gros pois? There's the gropa. Or you may even ask, is there any rasgulla? Or something like that. So, but Krishna, when he looks at it, Krishna doesn't care. Gropa, petit pois, pas de problème. For Krishna. And even there was a great devotee. His name was, what was his name? Vamsidas Babaji. Some of you might have heard of him. He was living at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the earlier part, perhaps. perhaps like first half maybe or so of the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Anyway, something like that, sort of in the earlier part of the previous century. And he was an avaduta. Means he wasn't following any rules and regulations. He was spontaneous, like totally, even wildly spontaneous, actually. Wildly. And people thought he was mad. So he would sometimes offer his deity. He had a number of deities. One was Ladu Gopal. He would sometimes offer Ladu Gopal uncooked brinjal. Did you ever eat uncooked brinjal? Raw. No, generally people have not eaten it, and there is a reason why they have not eaten it. You know, we've all eaten uncooked apples before, but we haven't eaten uncooked brinjal. Anyway, if you want to get the idea, next time you get a chance, try it and see. I believe it's not very tasty. So, but he would offer it, and the deity would accept, because there was so much love. And of course, I imagine you're all familiar with the story when Lord Krishna went once to Hastinapur and met Vidura. Well, he met, first of all, Duryodhana, who was the prince, but was a nasty person. But still, Duryodhana, even though he's not a nice person, he invited Krishna for lunch. Please come, we'll have a royal feast. He's the prince. So, surely it would have been something quite extraordinary. But then, Krishna continued walking around the town, and he met Vidura, who was his great devotee. And Vidura also invited him for lunch. So, but Vidura, he's a devotee, but Vidura was very poor. He was really, really poor. And so one could not have expected much in terms of, you know, some fancy type of feast at all. So, but anyway, because Vidura is the devotee, he accepted the invitation, Krishna accepted the invitation of Vidura, and not the invitation for the royal feast of Duryodhana. So Krishna went along, and they were so happy, Vidura and his wife, so happy. Our Lord has come. But then they looked for something to eat. They didn't have anything, except some bananas, kala. So they just grabbed the bananas and started peeling the bananas and handing them to Krishna. And Krishna's so happy, I am with my devotees. Krishna was just eating. However, because they were so excited, they didn't notice exactly what they were doing. And Vidura's wife was throwing away the fruit and giving Krishna the skin. Did you ever eat banana skin? You did. What was it? Oh, the green one. Okay. This wasn't the green one. It was the yellow one. Well, again, it's something that generally people don't eat. And I'm sure there's a reason for it. But Krishna was just eating these skins and he was oblivious. And Krishna told Vidura, these are the best bananas I ever ate. It was the love. It was the love. So when a person makes something, some of them goes into it. This is why, I'll tell you one thing, this is one reason why, and a very good reason why, we do not eat food cooked by people who are not devotees. Because some of them goes in to the food. Some of their mood and attitude and so on. And so then you eat the food cooked by them and you get some of them. And then you'll find, if you do this, particularly if you do it regularly, you'll find your consciousness will change, will deteriorate your state of mind. And there's a statement of Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Prabhupada says that particularly if you eat grains cooked by non-devotees, then in due course, the actual words, what Srila Prabhupada actually says is, your mind will become wicked. This is a very strong statement. And this is one reason our acharyas explain why Bhishma fought against Krishna and the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. Bhishma, you know who I'm talking about? Grandfather Bhishma. He, for many years, he protected the Pandavas and supported them completely. But when the battle came, he fought against them. So, our acharyas explain. There are different reasons for that. But one reason is because he would regularly eat food cooked by Duryodhana, who, as we said, was big demon, actually, big rascal, nasty, nasty person. And it influenced the mind of Bhishma. It's all transcendental. Don't start thinking that Bhishma is just in Maya like us. But still, there is a lesson to be learned from that. Actually, Bhishma is Mahajan, great authority. But still, there's a lesson to be learned. Right, so, yes, so like that. When someone makes something, part of them goes into it. And when Krishna makes something, then part of him goes into it. It's his energy. It's come from him. And his consciousness, his thought, has gone into it. He has put it together. So like this, there is a type of oneness. It is not absolute oneness, but a type of oneness between Krishna and Krishna's creation, or Krishna and Krishna's energy, or the sun and the sunlight. This is Achintya Bhed, Abhed Tattva. And here in Bhagavad Gita, in different places, Krishna gives different examples of that. What is the first example? In the 7th chapter, the first thing Krishna says, I am... Chapter 7. I am the rasoham apsu kanteya. I am the taste of water. Prabhasmi shashi surayo. I'm the light of the sun and the moon. Yes, so, but then again, then Krishna says some other things which are a little extraordinary. I am. Krishna says, for example, of fishes, I am the shark. Fishes, I am the shark. Now, that Krishna says this does not mean that if we happen to be at the beach sometime, flick and flack, and we see some shark goes by, that we should think, ah, my Lord, and go swimming out to embrace his lotus feet, his lotus fin, tail. No. And Krishna says, even more extreme, Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats. Does this mean when you see, you know, some, if you go to the casino, if you have them here? Litter. Huh? Litter. Okay. Litter. That if you go there, don't go there, okay? But if somehow you go there, then, and you see some super expert, because we hear there are some people, they just become expert in these things. I had a disciple, he passed away in South Africa. But before he became a devotee, and even actually for the first number of years before before he got initiated, but he was a devotee, he was a professional gambler. He gambled on horses, and he made a living, and he got a house, and, you know, he was living quite a decent middle-class existence. So anyway, some people, they become expert in these things. So it doesn't mean if you meet such a person who's an expert gambler that you must think, ah, it is a special incarnation of my dear Lord. Once, it's a long story, but we had to have a program in an isolated place, and we were looking for accommodation for the devotees in this isolated place. It's in South Africa. It's called the Wild Coast. It's quite likely you haven't heard of that. But the main place, and almost the only place, but definitely the main place to stay, is a big hotel, the Wild Coast Sun. And in it is a big gambling casino. So we had to go and check the accommodation because we needed accommodation. Madhavi Prabhu and I. So in we went. And the entrance to the hotel was the gambling casino. If you wanted to book a room, you had to go through the gambling casino, so we had to walk through. And you know who we saw? We saw some people we knew. Seriously. And you know who we saw, and that really sort of, you know, it's quite something. These old Indian grannies with their saris on, playing the slot machines. Anyway, Hare Krishna. But, yes, Krishna says, I'm the gambling of cheats. Of fishes, I'm the shark. Among animals, I am the lion. Like this. What he means is that a creature like a lion or a shark has no natural predator. No natural predator. Only human beings who are not really his natural predator. Otherwise, he's, you know, no one can touch him. Even the whales. So, the shark is such an amazing feature of this material world, such an amazing creation, that when you look at the shark, then you'll feel this is a display of Krishna's energy. Just see how Krishna has done this. So you'll sort of, so to speak, see Krishna there, because it's such an extraordinary display of Krishna's energy. However, Srila Prabhupada does make the point here in the purport. Let us just remind ourselves. Such planets being manifestations of Krishna's energy are also Krishna, but actually they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. Yeah. So instead of just simply recognizing how this world is so amazing because Krishna did this, Krishna did that, Krishna made it like this, Krishna made it like that. Of course, we should see it like that too. But instead of only seeing it like that, we should see Krishna himself. And that is the main thing. That is the main thing. To approach Krishna personally and develop a direct personal relationship with Krishna, and not limited to his energy. So Krishna here then gives a number of examples of different ways he manifests. I'm the goal, sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, the most dear friend. This is a very practical point for all of us as aspiring devotees. Krishna is the most dear friend for the devotees. For the devotees. Actually, for everyone, but particularly for the devotees. For the non-devotees, Krishna is also their dear friend and helps them in many ways. But helps them means, well, he helps them. I mean, he sustains them, but he helps them to approach him. He teaches people that there's a need to approach him. He teaches the non-devotees through the school of hard knocks. Do you have this term in Mauritius? Or is it an obscure English term? The school of hard knocks. Knock, bang. Do you have that term? The school of hard knocks means when hard things happen to you, some problem, some crisis, some pain, you may learn. Yes, this is called, in English it's called the school of hard knocks. And when a person is really thick-headed, what do you say en créole? Comme un cochon. Was that taking it too far? La tête comme. Anyway, excuse me. I don't want to get too personal. But if a person, if they are pig-headed, you know, they just don't get the message. If you tell them, don't do this, don't do that, but they just don't get it, so they do those things and bang, they suffer as a result. This is called the school of hard knocks. But for the devotee, Krishna is the dear friend of the devotee in many ways, but not only through the school of hard knocks. Krishna gives mercy in many ways to the devotees, and sometimes a little bit through the school of hard knocks, and sometimes in other ways. But Krishna's always the dear friend of the devotees. Let me tell you one little story. There was a king, and he liked hunting. And he had his minister, like personal advisor. They were close. They were like friends, more or less. Although the king is always the king. But they would go everywhere together. So one day they went hunting. And the king, he's trying to shoot some creature. And somehow he slipped. And the arrow slipped. And cut part of his thumb off. Like the tip of his thumb got physically removed. And wow, oh. So he was really distressed. Look at this. And the minister, they're both devotees. And the minister is a more advanced devotee. The minister immediately said, "Aha! This is Krishna's mercy." And the king got really angry. "What do you mean? What do you mean this is Krishna's mercy? Look, I just lost the tip of my thumb. How dare you say that?" He really got angry. "What are you trying to say? Yeah, this is nonsense. You stop this." And he called his soldiers and told them, "Arrest him. Arrest him. Lock him up. He's a rascal. Let's just get rid of him." Even though they were close, he just got so angry. So the minister got locked up in jail. There he is in jail. And the king, with his damaged thumb, a couple of days later, it was feeling a little better. But, I mean, it wasn't better, because part of it, like the tip, had been removed. But anyway, he thought, okay, let's go out hunting again. So out he went hunting. And somehow he got separated from his group of assistants and people, and he kind of got lost in the jungle and wandered here and there somewhere. He wandered into the area of some like aboriginal tribe people, tribals, you know, like wild forest dwellers. And they grabbed him. They grabbed him, they arrested him. And he said, "Wait a minute, I'm the king." And they said, "Not here, you're not." So they tied him up and they said, "Because you're the king, you're such an important man, we're going to give you a special honor." And he thought, very good. And they said, "We are going to give you the special super duper honor of sacrificing you to Mother Kali." Human sacrifice. "It is a rare privilege." And the king, he's not happy at all. So they're preparing him for the human sacrifice. And the priests are, you know, doing whatever with him, getting him ready. And suddenly one of them noticed, "Look, part of his thumb is missing." And they went to the chief of the group, said, "We can't sacrifice him. He's not whole. We can only sacrifice to Mother Kali, whole people. Otherwise, she'll get angry and we'll be in big trouble." So they let him go. And the king's going back thinking, wow, wow, that was a close one. And he got back and he thought, that was Krishna's mercy. If I had not lost part of my thun, I would have been, you know, prasadam by now. Kali prasad. So he thought, you know, my minister was right. I should never have locked him up. Why did I lock him up? That was terrible. What an offense. So he went personally and had the minister released. And he explained the whole story. And he apologized. You know, I'm so sorry I locked you up. It was just terrible. It was terrible. I should never have done that. And the minister said, no, no, no. It was Krishna's mercy for me. Because if I had been with you out hunting, I'm whole. I would have been sacrificed to Mother Kali. So you see, Krishna's mercy works sometimes in inconceivable ways, really. But it is a fact that Krishna, for his devotee, for everyone, he is the dear friend. After all, even the materialistic people, even the animals and the insects and all living entities, Krishna has given everybody their body and their food. You know, like the elephants. You don't see any elephants queuing up to get jobs in the factory, to earn money to get food. You don't see that. Neither do you see them coming to the temple to pray to get food. Do you? Did you ever see? Or the church or the mosque. You never saw. But you never see a skinny elephant. You never see. You always see these big, hefty elephants. So Krishna's looking after them. He's looking after them. He looks after all living entities. If we live according to Krishna's arrangements, and of course that's another thing. I mean, the way humanity is living is like so far away from Krishna's arrangements. Therefore, there's so much chaos even for the other species because of the unnatural arrangements of the humans. But if we were to live according to Krishna's arrangements, then we could all live very happily and we wouldn't need factories and industry and all of that. So Krishna's the dear friend of everyone. Of course, he wants to bring people back to him. And for that, there is the school of hard knocks for the non-devotees. They have to go through so many bad experiences. So they come to the point of understanding, this program does not work. Just trying to enjoy life independently. It's not working. Maybe I should surrender to God. But for the devotees, Krishna is merciful in many ways. For the sincere devotees. Actually, a devotee should take it that if I am practicing Krishna consciousness truly to the best of my ability, actually, doing my best, in fact, then whatever happens to me is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's personal arrangement. Whatever happens is Krishna's mercy. In this way, the devotee can see the hand of Krishna everywhere. And even in these improbable situations, unusual situations, like that king, he couldn't see Krishna's hand. But then later he understood Krishna's hand was there. So for the devotee who's really, sincerely, from the heart, trying to serve Krishna, truly to the best of their ability, then you can understand, at least try to accept, that whatever happens to me is actually Krishna's arrangement and Krishna's mercy. Yes. So, Krishna's very kind to his devotees. And Krishna is present. Like Srila Prabhupada said, we should try to approach Krishna directly and not simply indirectly through all these different manifestations of his energy. Krishna's present in the form of the deity. And you know what Srila Rupa Goswami says about the deity? You know what he says? To emphasize, to stress how important, how powerful deity worship is as a purifying process for our advancement as devotees. In order to emphasize this, Rupa Goswami gives a very unusual but good example. He speaks as if he is a non-devotee, like a real materialist, speaking to his friend who is also a materialist. And he says, my dear friend, if you want to remain attached to family, friendship, and love, quote unquote, in this material world, then whatever you do, don't look at Radha Golokananda. Don't look! Stop! Look out the window. Look at the ground. Do anything, but don't look at Radha Golokananda. Because if you see them, you're finished. Your material life is just finished, gone. You've had it. You won't be able to be a happy materialist any longer, because they will haunt you. They will just haunt you completely. You'll become obsessed with them. So don't look, okay? Just don't look. Anyway, the thing is, for all of you, it's too late. Sorry, too late. Tough luck. Your material life is finished. Fini. And Krishna is particularly present in this age in his holy names. Kali Kale, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. The deities here in the temple in Phoenix, and you live wherever you live, and so you come maybe on Sunday or whenever you come, and you see the deity, very good. But then you go home, and you're at home, and Radha Golokananda are here. But Krishna, in the form of his holy names, you can be with him everywhere. Of course, you can keep a picture of Radha Golokananda at home. That's also fine. That's nice. But, you know, when you're walking in the street, you can't really keep a picture of Radha Golokananda, can you? You will walk into things. But you can keep the holy names with you. You can. Yes. Anytime, any place, anywhere, you can keep in Krishna's company in the form of his holy names, and in this way, get his mercy. He'll be fully present with you. So, these are some thoughts on the subject. Hare Krishna. Oh. Should we do now? Questions? Prashna? Question? Where? S'il vous plaît. Please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The lecture was simply very wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Remind us of the basic of how to appreciate Krishna in many ways. So my question is, your lecture, Prabhupada, and Shiva also says that Krishna is a friend of
right.
The devotee.
Right.
Especially for the devotee, for the desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, if a devotee, for one reason or other, has gone astray from
right.
Devotional service.
Okay. So the question was basically that Krishna's merciful, the friend to everyone, and particularly is kind to his devotees. But if a devotee goes off track, out of Krishna consciousness, then will Krishna interfere in the life, am I right, of the devotee who's gone astray? The answer to that question is yes, certainly, certainly. We may try to hide from Krishna, but Krishna has X-ray eyes, or whatever you might say. He sees you, wherever you may run. Yeah. Try and hide from Krishna. Forget Krishna, he won't forget you. So Krishna will make arrangements of different sorts. And you know, there are many stories of devotees who had experiences like that. That they're trying to run away from Krishna, and then they think they escaped him, and suddenly they walk around the corner, there's a devotee. How many times has that happened? Many times. Yeah. Something like that. Or, you know, now, yes, I'm running away from Krishna. Now I'm watching television. Ah, what's on tonight? Oh, something exciting. Sasbi Kabi Bahuti. So we turn on the television and there, other devotees on television. Or something. You know, these things happen. So Krishna, he doesn't let the devotees go very easily. No, no, no. Like when you got a job, I'm sure many of you are working in jobs, and, you know, then you want to change your job, so you tell the boss. And the boss may say, well, you know, if you stay with me, I'll increase your pay. He may do something to try to keep you. But then still you may leave. But with Krishna, you know, Krishna, he's not so easy. He's very persistent. He's not so easy to leave. Yeah. So, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam actually which says that even if a devotee does fall down, and leave Krishna consciousness, you know, like the regular practice at least. But the verse says, the devotee will never be able to forget the taste of the lotus feet of Krishna. They'll be haunted by it. Yeah. Yeah. So, that's nice. Let's see. Why does Hanuman's appearance, being Lord Ram's servant, not appear in the Vaishnava calendar? Well, it depends which Vaishnava calendar you look in, devotee. Why does Hanuman's appearance day, seeing he's Lord Ram's servant, why does it not appear in the Vaishnava calendar? Well, you know, it does appear in some Vaishnava calendars. Hanuman's appearance day, Hanuman Jayanti, was on, in South Africa at least, April the 6th. It was the first day of our Rath Yatra in Durban. It was good, what they call, so-called Good Friday, according to the Christian calendar, Easter. So we had special Hanuman program. Oh, yes. We had a tent. You know, there's a whole big setup for the Rath Yatra. And there was a Lord Ram tent. And that evening, there was like, you know, classes for about 6 hours. And that evening, they were all about Hanuman. So, but anyway, some calendars may not have Hanuman's appearance day. And we'll tell you why. It is because there are so many appearance days. Every single day of the year is the appearance day of at least 50, at least minimum, absolute, 50 is too small. Great, great personalities, including different avatars. And you can't have them all. You just can't do it. It's too much. So therefore, you know, even some of the other avatars, Matsya, find his appearance day. Kurama, find Kurama's appearance day. It's not there because it's just too much. You just get overloaded. And plus, Hanuman's appearance day, like we know when Ram Nomi is, Hanuman's appearance day, it may not be so clear. I mean, amongst the Hindu sort of, you know, in the Hindu world, they may have this idea, like it's roughly a week after or some number of days after Ram's appearance day. But it may not be truly clear in really authentic terms. And so, you know, we don't want to have just like speculative things. But many temples on Shivaratri, they have festival glorifying Lord Shiva as a devotee. And also some temples, they celebrate that Hanuman Jayanti and they explain how Hanuman is a devotee. Great devotee of Lord Ram. Any other comment or question? Prashna? Yes. Yeah. Kapi Dwaja. That's what the verse says. I forget if it's 121 or it's something like that. Kapi Dwaja. Arjuna was on the chariot which had the dwaja, the flag, with Kapi, monkey, Hanuman, on it.
Yeah, the comment goes on,
Arjuna
knows much better, that one of the reasons for the cause of the victory.
Right. Right. Okay, now, dear devotees, Kimanya, Tukorek, Fatige, Inpe, Pamal. Okay, just bear with us for another 1 to 2 minutes. We have a little announcement. Hari Dave Prabhu. You want this?
Maharaj, il paie beaucoup.